The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. Each week, we introduce you to something new, something that'll make you think, something that might change your life. Here's this week's author interview on the Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is A.J. Sherrill. A.J. has more than 20 years of experience as a pastor, including the role of lead pastor at Mars Hill Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're going to talk this morning about A.J.'s book, The Enneagram for Spiritual Formation, How Knowing Ourselves Can Make Us More Like Jesus. Really appreciate your time this morning, A.J.
Oh, yeah. Great to be on with you.
Let's start by quickly addressing some of the misunderstandings, perhaps even the critics of the Enneagram. Your contention is that Enneagram is not a New Age tool or even a Christian tool. It's a universal human thing. Say a word or two about that issue.
Yeah, I think the Enneagram, I think a lot of people get confused, first of all, by the symbol that it is, not realizing those are actual arrows where you go in stress and security. So some people first look at the Enneagram symbol and they're like, are we talking about the pentagram? What is this? Is this a cult? And when you get into it, you realize it's a human tool that just shows how humans across time have used this to understand more of their motives for why they do what they do in this world. So once you sort of deconstruct that this is actually neutral, just like money, it can be used for ill, and it can be used for good. And so I want to help people see it for what it really is, which is a human tool that can be used for all sorts of different things. I love to use it in the direction of a Jesus-centric, Christ-focused spiritual formation.
Chapter 1 employs a tree metaphor to outline the distinctions between identity, the roots, personality, the stem, and character and gifts, the limbs and leaves. Break that down like a little bit further for us.
Well, I think people misunderstand their personality for their identity. They assume it's the same thing. And I want to suggest that your identity is actually deeper than your personality, and it's that you're a beloved child of God, that your belovedness, your identity is not up for negotiation. But out of your identity flows your personality, and all your personality is a strategy. It's a strategy that we develop over the course of time to both cope and thrive in a beautiful and broken world. So when we talk about the Enneagram, we're talking about strategies. We're talking about your personality, and your personality is a strategy to navigate the world. So that's what sort of manifests in this world that everyone can see, is how your personality shows up. That's not the same thing as your identity. And when the strategies of your life, or that's to say your personality, when that is healthy, you bear limbs and leaves, which is your character and fruit that's good for the world. So to understand, first of all, our identity, that we are rooted in our belovedness in God, our personality, which is what the Enneagram is about, the strategy that you sort of utilize in this world, out of that flows a kind of life from which the world can sort of enjoy or be repelled by based on whether you are healthy or unhealthy.
I've read lots of books on personality stuff, and I've never thought of personality as a strategy before. That's a very interesting way of looking at it. Let's talk about enneatypes and discerning what your enneatype is. There's 9 of them. Some of our listeners will know, and some will be brand new to this idea. What's the optimal way to figure out what your enneatype is?
Yeah, think of it like the image of a funnel. So you start with broad strokes, and then you narrow it down. So when you take a test, such as the Enneagram Institute, that's the one I like for people. It's called the RETI. When you take that test, it will narrow down, you know, 3 or 4 that you score highest in. From there, it's really good to see which one, as you read those 3 or 4 descriptions, it's there to see which one of you gives you the greatest amount of humiliation, which sounds kind of terrible, but it's the one that you feel like has read your journal. Maybe rather instead of reading all 9 types, start with the test, narrow it down, and then read the descriptions for each of those. If you're still having trouble, then ask someone who's close to you, or look at the wings, which was the sort of numbers that's to the right and to the left of that number, and that'll give you intel about where your core is. There's so much more to say about that. It's hard to do that at with just a short amount of time. But that being said, start with the test, read all those numbers, and source it by the one that gives you the greatest amount of humiliation.
I haven't done any official testing, but I feel like from the descriptions in your book, I feel like I've figured out that I'm an individualist. You had very helpful breakdowns there. In Chapter 3, you kind of move into the spiritual development side of it and spiritual practices for each individual type, an upstream and a downstream practice for each type. What does that mean?
Well, what I want to do in the book is to help people get beyond the Enneagram. So once you type yourself, the question then becomes, what do I do with this? Is this the end? And my suggestion is, it's a means to an end. The idea is, how do we think about spiritual practices that are paired to our personality? Maybe God has made us unique, and the way in which we all connect with God has a uniqueness to it. So an upstream practice is a practice. Imagine a lazy river. If you're to sit in that raft, an upstream practice is one that doesn't come naturally. In other words, you're going to have to swim against the current. And so these are practices that are hard for you. So maybe that's practices from the contemplative tradition, or maybe it's Bible reading, or maybe it's certain forms of prayer, or maybe it's service projects. And that's a little bit different than downstream practices. Go back to that raft image. If you sit in that raft and the current takes you down the stream, those are practices that come very easy for you. And based off of our personality, what I want to suggest is that some practices come easier for some people than others, and some practices come harder for some people than others. And we need to have a balanced practice diet so that we're not just doing things that we like and call that following Jesus, that there are also things that God is calling us to do that maybe don't come as naturally for us, which are our upstream practices, that we need nonetheless to grow our character.
Discuss the ways in which certain passages, you also talk about particular sections of the Bible that can be especially helpful for specific enneatypes.
Yeah, so what I want to do is help people get back into the scripture. A lot of people assume that the scripture is this old text, these primitive people, I don't relate to them. But we notice that the motives of these ancient people are still the same motives that we have today, whether it's a desire for safety or security, or we're motivated by fear, or we're motivated by all sorts of things. Although our technology and our context has changed, what we see is that we are still so much like the ancient people, more so than we think. So it's a way of seeing yourself in the text. What I want to suggest is there are characters in the Bible that present certain types. I'm not saying they are that type, because we don't have enough information, but they present certain types that help us to see our story as their story. I'll give you an example. I'm an Enneagram type 3, and King Saul from the Old Testament bears a lot of similar traits of the way that I'm motivated in life. And so I try to pair every type with a biblical character so that the Christian today can read the text once again and see themselves in the story, that the story that the ancients have told is our story as well. And we too, though we're all these years later, living with the same sort of motives that those who come before us did as well.
I'm glad you brought that up. I actually wanted to close on that note. You say that you're a type 3, the achiever, and I'd love to close on that more personal note. How has your knowledge of that and your own ever-deepening knowledge of the Enneagram directly impacted your own spiritual life?
Yeah, so I prioritize as an achiever doing over being. It's hard for me to be. Sometimes that feels like a waste of time to just be with God or walk through nature. I'm constantly wanting to perform, add to the resume, get another degree, write another book. Mm-hmm. And so the contemplative tradition has been really helpful for me. That's one of my upstream practices, where I sit in the morning and I learn to be with God. I've learned how to have a sacred word that I sit with and pray over and over, so that it gives my mind something to do, but it also just makes me slow down before I start my day, so I don't jump straight into email or straight into reading or straight into social media. I can sit back and be with God in the quiet of the day and know that I am beloved. And so the three has to really work hard at that, because we sort of judge our sort of success in life based on what we're achieving.
Very thoughtful stuff. Perfectionist, helper, achiever, individualist, investigator, questioner, enthusiast, challenger, peacemaker. Which one of the 9 Enneagram types are you, and how can understanding your motives in a deeper way build into your own spiritual formation? That's what this book is all about. AJ Sherrill again joining us, The Enneagram for Spiritual Formation, How Knowing Ourselves Can Make Us More Like Jesus. Thanks once again for your time, AJ. So appreciate it.
Yeah, Joy.
The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. To find out more about this week's bookmark or hear the author interview again, or to discover previous books highlighted on the Wednesday Bookmark, go to chri.ca.